Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now.
Johnny Nash, Suzette Vernon, and Bonnie Kay singing I Can See Clearly Now. That's all I can say about that. But welcome, everyone, to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is the hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men, bisexual men, or transgender men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments during the show, feel free to email me at bonkay@aol.com. That is bonkaye@aol.com, and we'll do our best to address them tonight. I'd like to say this is an off night. Normally this is a Sunday show, but we had a technical difficulty, and I didn't want to let go of Suzette getting off this show for a month, so she had to come back tonight. But I really appreciate people's patience with that. Sometimes you just can't help technology. I do want to mention to people that our upcoming healing weekend is April 29th and 30th here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's a wonderfully empowering weekend where you can meet other women who know your story before you even tell it to them, where there's no judgment, where there's no one saying, really? Where there's no one saying, were you that stupid? Where there's nobody thinking it, where we all know the story because we've all lived the story, and there's something very empowering about that. I'm really excited. Next, on my Sunday night show, Kristen Calbley will be there, and she's going to be at our event inspiring us and making us feel valid in what we're going through. Kristen has a wonderful way of making us feel uplifted, so I'm really excited she'll be joining us. We'll be having other workshops there for physical health as well as mental health. And it'll just be a wonderful weekend. There's no cost for the weekend except for the, you know, food and your lodging. And it's right by the airport, so you only have to take a shuttle bus away. There's still room for a couple more spots. So if you are interested, please write to me at bonk@aol.com. That's bonk@aol.com. And put in their healing weekend, and I'll get back to you with the information. So one person, I'm going to tell you this true story. Every healing weekend I go to is an exceptional weekend, but the most exceptional weekend that I had so far was last year when I had finally the chance to meet my co-hostess in person, Miss Suzette Vernon, who's here with us tonight. And that was a moment where we stood looking at each other crying. Right, Suzette?
Oh, Wendy, the ugly cry.
It was so wonderful to meet a sister of mine who I'd been talking to for so long and working with for so long, and to actually have the chance to meet her and see her in person. You know, that made my whole weekend worthwhile. I mean, it was just something to celebrate beyond just why I was there. So, and maybe you can tell people about the importance of going to a healing weekend, Suzette.
Oh, most definitely. It was my first healing weekend, and I had a chance to actually, it was my high point for me when I was coming was I'll get to finally meet Bonnie. But what I did not expect was to connect with such beautiful, strong, resilient, heart-connected, brave, courageous women. And to hear their stories, I mean, and it, for me, it was hearing their stories, and all I could think in my heart was, and you're still here. After everything you've been through, after everything that happened that tried to take you out, leave you, you know, in the deaf, dumb, and blind section because you just, your brain is fried and you don't even know who you are anymore. And to see these women who did what they had to do to get that healing weekend and to open up and be able to be vulnerable with each other and to be in a space where everyone understood and to see how that was healing within itself.
I think that's the problem. When you go through this, you feel so isolated. And even though it's so common, you know, 4 million women is a lot of women in this country. It's not like a handful. It's not like 300. It's 4 million women who either have been married to, you know, a gay, bisexual, transgender man, or they remarried more than once, and that's why the numbers are higher, because they just don't do it once. They continue to do it to women, some of these men. And so it is a big number, but no matter how big it is, you always think, like, I'm the only one this is happening to. Nobody else talks about having a gay husband. You know, how did this happen to me? You know, why didn't I see this? And, of course, you have your doubts and your questioning, because that's how society perceives us, as not being smart women, that our husbands weren't gay when they married us. And what did we do to turn them gay? They were straight. They had children with us. They had sex with us. Gay doesn't do that. That's the conception or the perception that people have, right?
Yeah, or either, well, if he was on the fence, weren't you woman enough to change his mind? You must have been really bad in the bedroom, girl, you know, or something like that. Or you're not adventurous, or because you got all these rules about what good girls will do and bad girls won't. It's because of you that he is the way he is. And we both know that's not true.
We do, but unfortunately society doesn't get it yet. And that's why I'm starting my new campaign. I've had so many people write to me. I have to thank all of you. I'll be sending out a mailing in the next week or two. I just want to get the healing weekend past us and talk more to the women there about Straight Wives Matter, because this is a campaign that I will be, you know, initiating this year, that we have to move forward to make people understand our plight. Because I'm personally really sick of people, you know, honoring gay men who come out after 30 years of marriage talking about how brave they were. When the women are left in the dust, people questioning, how could you have been so stupid not to know it? Or I guess you were willing to live with it. Or I guess you wanted something from him, which is why you stayed with him. You know, all the idiocies that we go through, which is, turns the women more into the closet when their husbands come out. Then we become more intimidated and afraid to say anything or tell the truth, because then people judge us, and they don't do that. We have to stand up to that. And, you know, the first way we're going to stand up to it is demanding equality in courts. In other words, that, you know, a lot of states have only no-fault divorce. And in these divorces, there is fault. And I'm not saying that I'm going to give the gay men credit. They didn't intentionally intend to hurt their wives when they married them. I believe in my heart, for the most part, they hoped that being married would change those feelings. But when it didn't, then you have to take responsibility and say, I was hoping it would work out, but I am a gay man and it's not working out, and let me take care of you. Let me try to make sure that you're taken care of, even though I can't physically be there to take care of you. And the woman should not have to pay for the divorce. The woman should not have to pay for legal fees. This has nothing to do with no fault, because there is fault. When you go into a marriage and you love a man and you do everything you can and you're being abused emotionally, mentally, and sexually through all those years, yes, there is fault. You can't tell me that's a no-fault divorce. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree. I totally agree.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just feel so bad for so many women.
Yeah, and it's bigger than another one that came up, at least for mine, was irreconcilable differences. You know, that's another one. And the thing about it is, what that says is we tried to reconcile our differences, but we couldn't do it. How do you reconcile that your husband is gay? I mean, there is no reconciliation there, because you're not going to ever be what he prefers. So that's the irreconcilable.
People don't know what
difference
we go through.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, the men give such misconceptions. I mean, how many men come to me? I can't even begin to tell you. And instead of saying the right thing to me, which many of them do, don't get me wrong, but those men who come to me and say the marriage wouldn't have worked out anyway, it's not the gay that's causing this, we just weren't meant to be together. Well, no, you weren't meant to be there, and she was reacting to the way you were treating her. And so, that's why the marriage didn't work out, because she was miserable and unhappy because of how you treated her, because you couldn't be a partner to her. You couldn't be a lover to her. You could, you know, you were like a brother to her, but that's not what you're looking for in a marriage. So, but we had other problems. Yeah, but I really believe that a lot of those problems are totally brought about by the lack of self-esteem, sexual esteem, the emotional, you know, abuse that you get from many women, where they're being blamed because their husbands feel as if they are being caged in by us. You know, by the straight wife.
And the interesting thing to me, that's like saying, if a person says, you know, it wouldn't have made it anyway, you know, because of this, that, and the third, that's just like saying, you know, you move into a house and the foundation is messed up. When the foundation is messed up, anything you try to build on it is not going to stand. You can't blame what's on it for the problem. You can't blame the fact that the walls have cracks in them. You can't say, oh, it's the walls' fault, because the walls had cracks in them. And if the walls didn't have cracks in them, everything would have been fine. No, the foundation was shot. It was, your marriage was built on a lie, and anything built on a lie cannot last. It just can't. It just cannot.
It's sort of like, you know, I try to explain to these men, like when they say, well, my wife is always suspicious of me. Well, yeah, I guess so. You're out there having sex with men. What do you think, she's stupid? You know, she's always questioning me. Well, yeah, I guess so. You're not there. You're not in her bed with her. You're not making love to her. Why wouldn't she question you? You know, they turn us into these suspecting little sniveling housewives because they don't want to take responsibility for what they're doing.
You know, I had mentioned, I think sometime back about a man, his name was J.L. King, and he wrote a book about men on the down low. And one of the things that he says in that book that was very, very telling, once I think the person was asking him how, you know, what is the biggest thing that you think that women do wrong, you know, in this situation? What do you think? And he said, it's because they override their intuition. They let somebody talk them out of their intuition. He said, the main thing for women to understand is that your intuition is right. it does not matter. You can't prove it. That gut feeling that you have that something's off, something's wrong, he said that's the biggest problem for women. He said they do not honor their own intuition. And instead of honoring it, they go past because they would prefer to believe the fantasy. They would prefer to say, well, you know, I don't have evidence about it. Or well, you know, maybe he is right. I am being a little suspicious. He said that's the biggest mistake women make is not honoring their own intuition. He said that's the
right.
biggest mistake. Mm-hmm.
And even he didn't honor his intuition. I was working with him for a while trying to get something together. And he was very insistent to me. I'm going back 6-7 years ago when he approached me. And, you know, he was still very strongly claiming to be bisexual. And I, you know, several years later, I kept saying to him, what you're doing is not bisexual, it's gay. No,
mm-hmm.
it's bisexual. And finally, he had to first come to terms with saying that he's gay. But, you know, it's an amazing thing how women, you know, they want, the proof they want is to walk in and find their husband in bed with another man. And when they see it, they'll believe it because their husbands keep gay-lighting them, making them think they're crazy for even suspecting it. So they start doubting their own intuition. They start doubting how they feel and conceive about a situation. And they start inwardly blaming themselves. I must be, you know, imagining it because my husband keeps telling me that I'm, you know, making up things, that there's nothing there. And these are some of the things that take years of repair, either through therapy or through coaching, years that was going to cost more money for the woman to have to repair herself. And I feel that this is not fair. This is not that kind of a marriage, you know, that where there is no fault. Look, there are people who get married under the best of circumstances. They grow in different directions. They're not in love anymore. And that's okay. That's why you can fix these problems. You know, you can get a divorce and start your life over. Sometimes you get married too young. Like right now, I'm working with, you know, who's so brokenhearted. He married a girl when she was 17. She didn't have any time to live at 17. She had two children, raising the children. Now she just lost interest in that marriage. And I said to him, at 17 years old, you're a baby. You know nothing.
That's right.
People get married over and over again. At 17, it's just a lustful thing. I mean, you know, you think you love somebody. You don't even know what love is at 17. You may know what a broken heart is, but you don't really know what love is. So, you know, but he can't get past it, you know, and it's a matter that, you know, unless you can manage to get your life back on track in a straight relationship, a straight gay relationship, you know, you have to be able to put it back together to realize all these messages you were receiving were fake messages. And I think one of the problems that our women discuss the most in our support group is the lack of trust that they have first in themselves, and then how can they trust someone else? When some people said, I never saw the red lights, you know, red flag, I never saw any signs, you know, how will I know now that something like that won't happen again? If I couldn't see it then, why would I see it again? You know, and they're so afraid to start over. What do you tell people in that situation?
I would love to address that because I've been there where you don't trust yourself and you say, if I didn't see it then, I won't see it now. Well, the thing about it is, and you put together a lovely, you know, lovely list of different things in the different books that you have written, Bonnie, about the kind of women that those, you know, men that have not come to terms with their orientation prey on. And a significant piece of that is ignorance. There are certain things we don't know. I know for me, if I knew then what I know now, I would have realized he was gay before I married him. But because I did not know, I did not know my own value. But then there's a second step. You also have to know the person, the object of your affection. You have to know their language, their culture, the way they think about things, the way they show how you can tell. And so the thing that I learned is the more we educate ourselves and become come to terms about ourselves and learn to love ourselves and stop secretly blaming ourselves. And that takes work. But that's the first step. Then the second step is learning how heterosexual men, healthy heterosexual men, healthy heterosexual good men, express themselves and become acquainted with that. That's what builds trust. But staying in a closet or staying in a safe place, you and I both know, Bonnie, if we had not risked our hearts to some degree, you would not have met the man that you love now, and I would not have met the man that I love now. So I
right.
understand the mistrust thing, but at some point the women are going to have to ask themselves, was this mistake worth a life sentence? And if it's not worth a life sentence, I'm going to have to work hard on myself.
You know what? I tell women, regardless, I mean, this wasn't my first marriage to my gay husband. You know, but I like to pride myself on the fact that if something's not working, I'm not going to stay in it. If I say I'm not happy, I just can't stay. I always say
yeah.
you have one chance at life, one life to live. You know, you are given that gift of life, not the gift to suffer, but the gift to enjoy it. And you make
yeah.
mistakes, and that's what mistakes are. They're mistakes, but they can be fixed. You can always fix a mistake. You can always start again. And women linger and linger for years in unhappy situations. I mean, I just wrote back to a woman who, you know, has been part of this network from my beginning. She's 11 years ago, she said, when we had our first conversation, and she's almost getting to where she has to go. And I just keep encouraging her, but my heart hurts for her. Give up year after year after year, sacrifice her life when she could have been happy. And you don't have to meet a man to be happy. You can be happy on your own. I mean, you can have your friends and your family that you love. But
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean you have to meet another man, but at least if you do at some point want to meet one, you're available to meet one after you get healed.
Exactly. And that when you meet them, it's not for them to fix what the other one broke. Because as long as we live in this world, there are going to be men and women. There are going to be men we're going to work alongside on jobs, on projects. We're going to sit on, you know, whether we go to the synagogue or we go to the church, you know, we're going to be sitting beside them. There is no way we can escape men. Men and women both exist in this world. And the one thing that whether they want a romantic relationship or not, wouldn't it be better to be able to relate to men without any kind of trepidation, without feeling like you've got to protect yourself? If a man shows interest in you, I mean, you don't have to go through any changes over it. I would rather have that sense of empowerment, whether I ever decided to get in a romantic relationship or not, but to be able to remove the stigma out of my own self-image, to be able to remove that intimidation. Because the thing that made me fight for me was I was fighting for me. It wasn't that Robert came into the picture and gave me hope and that made me want to fight. No, I started fighting for me before I even met him.
Right.
And I think a lot of times women are thinking, you know, well, I need to meet the right man. Well, he might be the right man, but if you haven't worked on your stuff, you'll still not even trust a good man. He could be Jesus Christ and come walking to you on top of the ocean, and you still wouldn't trust him.
Right, because you've lived in a marriage for so many years where nothing could be trusted. And that's why I say we live in these marriages that remind me of Alice in Wonderland when she fell through that mirror and landed up in some craziness of a life. Everything was topsy-turvy, upside down. And we live in that state day in and day out, and then when it's finally over, we think, "Ooh, we're free." No, it's not that simple. You have a lot of, you know, a lot of residual damage that you have to undo. You know,
yeah.
you're going to be happy again in a relationship with someone because that scarring is deep. And even though you may not be being burned at the moment, there's a lot of scarring there that women have to go through. Depending on how long they've been married, how many years, how the marriage was, you know, it hurts. But some people hurt longer and they hurt more because they've been in it longer and more. So they really
yeah.
have to pull it together to see where, you know, why they allow themselves to go through that. Because if you allow that kind of behavior in a marriage, let's not even say the gay thing, but, you know, with the gay thing, most women have some kind of problem with either emotional abuse, sexual, you know, sexual neglect, lack of self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't learn how to change that once you're out of that marriage, some other very strong predator is going to be looking for you, and there's so many of them. It has nothing to do with gay. It just has to do with predators, men who are looking to take advantage of you.
And the thing, too, Bonnie, the thing we don't understand is if we don't have the magnet of what we went through, if we haven't dealt with it, it's not even just a matter of a person being a predator. You will be attracted and be going after somebody that's the wrong person for you. He might not even have made an effort, it might not even be even that a predator is trying to get at you. It might be that you are so attracted to a certain type of man that when he
mm-hmm.
comes in your presence, you go after him.
Absolutely. You know, you go after the wrong men, and then you end up in the same situation with a different man. The dynamics
exactly.
are somewhat different, but it doesn't make it any better. And
it
that's
really
why you
does.
Have to take the time after this to really fix yourself up. That's why coaching is so important. What Suzette does with women is wonderful. As a coach, she's able to take them from where they're ending up and start them pushing them towards a new future with all the obstacles being, you know, in their way. Like the song goes, you can see all the obstacles in your way. Well, Suzette will show you what those obstacles are to finding the happiness that you deserve to have for yourself, whether you're by yourself or with someone else. You know, those are obstacles you have to learn how to push aside and pass, because otherwise they're going to stay with you for a long time. I mean, I know that my obstacle stayed with me long after it was over. I was still feeling insecurities in a new relationship. And you don't want to have to go through that. You want to go in feeling strong, right?
Very much so. And as you were talking, I was thinking about something that's not unique to straight wives. I think it's unique to women who have never processed their pain to a point
mm-hmm.
where it no longer identify with it, or they no longer let it define them. One of the things that I found, especially in women past a certain age that have experienced a lot of pain, or even if they have not been in a sustained amount of pain like many of the listeners, they keep right on going through a cycle of unsuccessful
mm-hmm.
relationships. And what I found very interesting, I didn't want to be a part of the pain club. I just really didn't. And after a while, I got really tired of the same conversations over and over and over again. And I'm saying this, one of the things that I see a lot is women end up bonding over pain. And what ends up happening is like, ooh, I thought I was the only one, and now I know I'm not alone. And don't get me wrong, I think it's important to know that you're not alone, that you're not crazy, that somebody else has been through what you've been through. But then the thing about it is sometimes we women can get so comfortable in the camaraderie of it that we start spending more time exchanging pain stories and getting off on that. We get off on it instead of saying, you know what, this is where we were, but how about us both running toward wholeness, running toward health, running toward reclaiming our lives? And I have found over, and it's not just unique to straight wives, I have found it seems like the more there's this thing in women, and I think because we are naturally connectors, but I'm finding more so with women in our age group, more so than with the younger women, there has a tendency to be this almost camaraderie around a pain. And we just regurgitate that pain with each other. And because we feel better having gotten it off our chest, we go right on back into the situation we were in until we get burned again, hurt again, pissed off again, go through another thing. Then we come back and, because this is my crew. They understand. So we just continue to share over and over again the pain story. It's like the woman, like the single women that I ended up being around when I was coming out of my marriage, the ones that had been single and would go to the club every weekend. They went to the club, or every weekend it'd be like, girl, you got a date. I ain't got a date. Well, girl, come on over here. And then they sit and drink a glass of wine talking about how the terrible men, the dates, and how the relationships weren't going right. And that became their way of bonding, their way of being together. But I really have discovered that women who really want wholeness, the thing they have to risk at some point right now is great to have a sense of sisterhood around knowing that you aren't the only one. But at some point, your health and your wholeness is going to have to become even stronger than that.
Well,
because
you know,
there's some
women
who are not happy for you when you start looking outside of them for support. Some people aren't happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a risk that you take.
But I think that's what coaching does for you. You know, I think that when you have a coach like you who can really get people to from point A to point B to point C without drowning along the way, I always tell women, you know, there's going to be days when you want to have a pity party, and that's absolutely fine. You know, your whole life is falling apart, and you're going to have bad days. But you can't drown in the pity pool. You know, get out of the pool, get dried off, and start, walking ahead again. You know, once again, you can have some fallbacks. That's perfectly human and perfectly normal, but you can't stay there. You have to move ahead. I know some women who can't move ahead. They're so stuck, and for years they're stuck, and that anger turns into bitterness, and then the only one it really is hurting is them. You know, it's normal to be angry, but like I say, when the anger turns into bitterness, that's when you start getting hurt. You know, your mate's not hurting, you're hurting.
Exactly, and you can tell. You can tell because whenever you try to offer someone who is really into that bitter headspace, you can tell because whenever you try to offer them something true or healing or empowering, they'll resist that to hold on to the pain and get upset with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like you think you're better than them now.
Mm-hmm.
When they want to be stuck in it. You can always
tell.
And I tell
them, I'm not better than you now. I'm just in a better place than you're in because I want to be.
And I can't help you out of your space if I got to keep jumping in that pool and drowning with you. I can't help you if I'm in that same pool talking the same way you're talking.
Right.
With the same mentality. So it really becomes a thing where women have to really get, and it is an evolution because at some point, you do go from being married to someone who has not treated you well to wanting to be around people that at least you feel like, oh my God, I ain't crazy. That's part of the healing process, getting with somebody that you can tell your story to, that can have empathy and compassion for you. But you can't get stuck there, ladies. And I'm telling you this, for those of you who are ready to move along, you've got to put something in front of you to keep you moving forward. You can't just stay every year after year you have the same complaint. Year after year it's the same story. Year after year after year, at some point, you're going to have to get tired of your pain story and choose rather to get yourself free.
This is funny the way you said it. Anyway, talking about pain stories. I really like
that pain story.
So talking about pain stories, we have a request here from one of our listeners. And my heart goes out to her. Thank you for listening to our podcast, by the way. And she said, I enjoy your podcast so much. They're so helpful to me, and they give me hope for my future that I will survive and make it out of this crazy-making nightmare that my life is currently in. I'm wondering if you could discuss on the podcast the man that is so far in denial of his sexuality that he lies to himself and his wife. She said, I've come to find out there are quite a few of these men who are in total denial, And here's what I thought was really interesting. She wrote, I have stumbled onto this phenomenon looking at Craigslist personal ads. I've read so many that state I am married, just looking for a good time, want to hook up for a BJ or JO while watching porn, wife's out of town, etc. I honestly believe these men do not consider themselves gay. I know that's in the spectrum of narcissism, but I'm suspecting there's more going on, like maybe split personality disorder of sorts. It's just so bizarre to me, and I never considered that this was going on until I finally started to get a grip on what was really going on in my marriage. My spouse has not come out to me, and I suspect he never will, gay lighting in his way. He'd much rather give me a million reasons why our sex life is non-existent than the actual truth. He cannot hide the giddy crushes he gets, so disgusting hearing your husband talk about how huge and muscular a new guy at the gym at work is. I found the gay text between him and a couple of guys he works with. I'm sure if I questioned him about it, they would tell me they were joking. His latest claim is that he's asexual. And if that's the case, I don't think that an asexual would be sexting anyone. So, you know, I think that, thank you for sending in that note, and Susie, we will address it. I think that there's a large number of men, maybe close to 60%, based on a survey that I participated in a number of years ago, where gay men were asked, how many of you would tell your wife? Definitely not tell your wife, or maybe tell your wife. Between the definitely not and the maybes, it was about 65%.
Mm-hmm.
There was only about 35% that said, yes, they would tell her the truth eventually. But based on that, you know, I think that a lot of times these men, like, for instance, J.L. King, he was one of the men also who was fooling around but didn't consider himself gay, because as long as you can hang on to a wife, you can say you're not gay, that you're married. And you can say that all guys do this kind of stuff. It's not cheating. It's just a sexual impulse. And that as long as you're not getting emotionally involved with someone, how could you possibly be gay? And that they consider themselves straight. But I always say, and I think that we've discussed this before, to me, the penis is the dividing line. That once you cross it, you're not straight anymore. Once you're doing these kinds of things, like meeting men on Craigslist to have mutual pleasure, even if it's not intercourse, you know, once you're looking to meet a man to have any kind of sexual contact, that is gay behavior. They can deny it all they want and still say, I'm married with a wife and I'm not gay, but they're doing gay things. And so that's the number. They're not straight. You know, do they want to call themselves not straight? That's fine. As long as, you know, they're honest with you and say, look, I'm not straight. If you don't want to say that G word or H word, like homosexual, that's okay. But you can't just pretend that you're straight when you're having sexual encounters with penises, right?
It's so true. And I was listening to you and I was thinking to myself, well, if you were to draw a straight line, a straight line means I am not confused, I am not conflicted.
Mm-hmm.
I know I love women. That's it. I don't care if you put the prettiest alien in front of me I've ever seen. And if you have every organ from both groups, I don't care. I'm not interested. I am not interested in your penis. I'm not interested in your muscles. I'm not interested in your smell. The very idea of you kissing me makes me want to jump out of my skin and into a fire. It is so foreign to me. That's straight.
Right.
And it's not
and anything
that there's not
anything outside of that. Like I say, if you think about it, if you're looking at gay porno, even if you're not doing anything, if you're looking at men's penises and you're a man, then you're not straight. I'm sorry. I just have to make that call.
Yeah, or you're imagining, you can imagine yourself kissing him. He's so pretty. You know, he's so handsome. Oh, my God. I would make out with him if I was a woman. I mean, when you, if there's anything inside of you.
Yeah, but these guys aren't looking for that. They don't want anything as intimate as kissing. I met these men. They say, I don't do anything like that. There's never kissing or hugging or names, emotional, nice names. Honey dear, it says, strictly a sexual act. And it's sort of like the guys who go to the bookstores, you know, which a lot of them do, the adult bookstores, and they have the glory holes in there, and they stick their penis in, and somebody's at the other end. You never know who that person is. That's how impersonal the sex is. And I know men who do this, and certainly the adult bookstores have plenty of men going in there for that reason. And I don't care if you never see the person. If you're playing with somebody's penis or he's playing with yours, it's not straight, right?
It's not. I could be as blind as Stevie Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
It does not matter. It doesn't matter whether I can see it or not. It does not matter. If I'm allowing somebody else to handle me sexually, whether I have emotional commitment to it or not, and I'm okay with it, that's the thing, and I'm okay. It does not leave me wanting to go somewhere and shower and if I didn't think it would hurt me, bleach myself. It did not make me want to scrub myself, you know, or get that image out of my head. Because it's so foreign to me. And I'm saying this because I don't want anybody listening to think we're gay bashing or it's homophobia. No, not at all. I think there are a lot of straight men who say, hey, if you swing that way, that's fine. Just don't look over here because I don't. And it doesn't matter.
It's not about being gay. It's about accepting who you are and not dragging somebody down. You know, for their whole lives, because you don't want to live up to what you are, and those are what I call my straight gay men. No matter what they do with their penis, they're still going to say that they're straight, because emotionally they cannot come to terms with it, and that's why you're never going to get a confession. And most of the time, in many cases, when they leave you, they're off to their next woman. They are not off to another man. They're off to find another wife because they don't believe they're not straight. And by having a wife, that's their way of justifying in their own minds that they don't have to use that word gay.
Yeah.
So it's really tragic that there are, you know, a lot of the men are like that.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do.
I thought about this whole down low thing, which I totally agree. I think if you want to have sex with the same sex, you're gay. I don't have any shades of gray. No shades. I mean, that's just to me, that's pretty black and white. But
I don't like to say that because, you know, I get attacked all the time, and I'm not so worried about being attacked because I do get attacked. But my point is that if it makes you feel better for me not to say that word gay, I'm happy to do it, Suzette. I'm just happy to call them not straight. I don't have to say that word.
They're
just
right.
If they feel better,
listening out there, then I don't care if he is conflicted, confused, or whatever he is. You don't want somebody. He's not straight. You don't want somebody who's got to kind of think about whether they find you more attractive than somebody else.
No, but if you're seriously speaking, straight men don't go for penises. And if you think
they
do, I think you're totally wrong.
They don't.
Right?
They don't. And that's why I think it's so important for our straight wives to learn about men after they have worked on themselves, to really learn about men. Because if you don't understand that, if you haven't resolved certain things about how heterosexual men think, then you can be talked out of some things. And I think it's very important for our women, number one, to get healed themselves, to find out who they are. But then if you think that in any way between now and the time you take your last breath, that you maybe possibly might be interested in a romantic relationship, or it might sneak up on you, whatever. You need to know about men ahead of time, not be trying to figure it out when you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know.
Exactly.
Especially us women who've been through straight history, especially us women who've been married to gay men. There is, to me, there is no logical reason if you kind of threw caution to the wind and said, well, you know, I'm just going to let love happen to me. There is no good reason after you have come out of something like this for you to have a cavalier, attitude about your heart. I think when you come out of something like this, you owe it to yourself to educate yourself about yourself and to educate yourself about men. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to all that you've been through.
And another thing is that when we question ourselves in these relationships that we didn't see things, you know, you have to remember that we didn't know gay. Let me put it to you that way. The only thing we grew up knowing is that gay people like them. That's what homosexual means, that you're looking for someone of the same sex. There'd be no reason for us to start suspecting that a man who says he loves us and that we've been, you know, intimate with and we've married, why would this equate to gay? I mean, it'd be the last thing I would be thinking. Why would a gay man marry me? I mean, we don't understand gay. And so when it crops up in our marriage, you know, of course we're looking not to accept it because it's too confusing. Mm-hmm. If somebody was gay, why would they even want to marry us? Why would they want to have children, plan a future with us? There's something that's so off balance with it. So women just don't understand it. And, you know, they have to, so, you know, they find me and I give them these answers and then things to make sense. But a lot of people didn't, you know, they weren't familiar with homosexuality. And even if they were, because I wasn't familiar with this aspect of it, that men would marry women and choose not to be gay when they couldn't choose them. Right?
I wasn't either. And that's why I said, you know, we all can give each other a pass on the first time around because we didn't know. But after everything we've been through now, it's no longer okay to come out of it and just go on with life. You just go all of a sudden recognize the man being heterosexual. It's just, you know, as long as I get myself straight, go back to school, you know, get a new job, get a new hairstyle, dress differently, it's going to cause me to attract a different kind of man. No, because it's an inside job. That's not enough. To clean up the outside is not enough because you've been through too much. You got to do some work. You got to roll up your sleeves. You got to, because it's not going to just go away. It's in you.
Anything worthwhile, you have to fight for. You have to be retaught. You have to relearn what you should be looking for, what you should be staying away from. And I know how hard it is for a lot of our women, and my heart goes out to them. It truly does. When they're finally, you know, done with the marriage and they go out there and 3 weeks later they're sleeping in bed with someone thinking, I am, and I know the need to want to feel like you're desired when you've been totally, you know, sexually beaten down for all those years thinking you have no sex appeal or that sex is not a part of your life as a woman. And when somebody comes along and starts flirting a little, flattering a little, and wants to sleep with you, you just feel like everything is turning over into a whole new life for you. And almost all of those relationships, almost all of them are a bust.
And
then you feel worse afterwards.
Yes, and what I want to add to that as well is, and then the other part that can happen, and many times does, is while you're laying in that bed with the man that is heterosexual, and you lay there and you think to yourself, that's all there was to sex. I don't feel satisfied. I don't feel loved. I felt like he was just pawing over me. I mean, you know, and then you land there, and then you're thinking to yourself, well, maybe I shouldn't complain because I was married to somebody gay. At least this man wants to have sex with me, even though I don't feel anything, even though, and then if you haven't really resolved that within yourself and gotten back acquainted with yourself as a sexual being, then you'll fall for this, because I had a guy tell me this. oh, the reason why that wasn't good to you is because you're so used to gay, you're so used to the gay husband you were with.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked.
And how would you know?
That
right.
worked because I didn't know no different. But after you
right.
have had somebody that you have, you feel truly love, your body feels loved, and you have that pleasure and you're feeling all that wonderful stuff, you realize, I don't owe a heterosexual man nothing either. If he ain't doing it right, and I'm not feeling the pleasure and the release that I should, it is not because I was married to a gay man all these years. Don't fall for that lie either, because some heterosexual men, if they know your story, and they are not men of integrity, or they're not the right man, or they haven't processed their stuff either, they'll make you the culprit, and you'll accept it, because you never found out that it wasn't about that. So be that, too. On the other
Absolutely.
Side, just because a man is heterosexual, don't just take any old thing he gives you. Don't do it.
This is a let's talk a little before we have to go. Let's talk about your upcoming events that you're doing.
Sure. It's called What Is Your Enough Factor? This is a great segue, ladies, because it's called What Is Your Enough Factor? And that's what I was saying. You got to know what that thing is that makes you valuable, that has not been validated by your ex-husband or by any previous relationships that you had. You got to find out what makes you valuable inside so you can't be talked out of it by somebody else who doesn't appreciate it. So I'm doing a city-to-city tour. It's starting April the 14th, and it's going to be in this local area right now. I'm willing to travel, but right now it's kind of in the Raleigh-Durham area where I'm taking this message to the streets. Previously, I've been hiding, kind of doing my thing virtually, but I felt compelled to look at people face-to-face and to talk to them and to impart some things to them. And so it's called What Is Your Enough Factor? And it's for high-performing professional women. It's for women who have, a lot of the women are women who have been married at least one time, and since that time they continue to have a cycle of unsuccessful relationships. Or even on the flip side, they've met someone and they don't want to get it wrong this time. Whatever your reason, that this is for women who want to get relationships right this time. They want to work with themselves. They want to find out what their blind spots are. And so it kicks off on April 14th, and I have not announced it because I want to make sure that local people come to my event. Also, in May, I haven't forgotten my ladies and my customers that live out of town. I'm going to have a virtual version of that I'm going to kick off in May. Say what, Bonnie?
You come on next time. Hopefully you'll have everything ready so we can talk about it.
Yes,
well, that'll
I will.
Be May.
That'll
right.
be in May. Yeah, so y'all are the first ones to know about it because I have not announced it at all. If you look on my page, you don't see anything about it because I know my local people. If they know there's another
some of you
option, they won't come
in. If any of you live in the North Carolina area, you know, this is something
yes.
that you could go to. That'll be wonderful. I know we have
yes.
women all over the country, but... If not, you can do another virtual reality one with Suzette in May, no matter where you live, right?
Exactly, exactly. But I would hope that people that live in this area, even if you have to drive a little bit, ladies, I'm telling you, this will be worth it for you. It will be worth it for you. I'm excited about what I'm going to be sharing with you all face-to-face. That's what's happening, and for those of you that want to know more about it, you know, I do have a Facebook page. It's very easy because Bonnie pushed me to get Coach Suzette as part of a way of recognizing me. So if you are interested in it, you can come directly to my coaching page, which is www.facebook.com/yourcoachsuzette. So that is, there's a lot of posts that I'm putting up there about it, and I would love to see your face at one of these locations.
Right.
I'm having in four different locations.
So if you're interested and you didn't have the information, just write to me and I'll send you the link to Suzette. And also, I want to remind people that Suzette is a fabulous author, even though we didn't talk about her books tonight. But she has three beautiful books that are out. One that I keep very handy because I keep referring back to it, about my emotional G-spot, and I have to always keep reading about that. And you can find her books on her website, right? At CoachSuzette.com.
Yes, Amazon,
Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
If you want to really feel like you're lifted up or just want to feel good about living, you know, this is a book that you should be reading. You'll learn a lot there just on her books. If you can't meet Suzette in person, you know, that last book about your emotional G-spot is so important in what you can expect as a woman and not have to settle for, on how to build yourself up and not let all these little things get you down around you, you know, that you have to stand up to them. And so many great lessons are in that book, you know, that it always stands out in my mind. I always share it with friends that I have. I read them certain things, you know, in there, even for the gay husband chapter you have in there. It'll really inspire you. And so, once again, Suzette, did the name change on the books? I forgot to ask you that.
My name?
Yeah.
No, not yet. I haven't changed them. So it still says Suzette Hinton.
Yeah, so that's what I'm concerned that people wouldn't know what they're looking for. So,
Suzette Vernon, they might find it that way too.
They might. But if you want to find her books, you just let me know. And you can go to her website at CoachSuzette.com. And you can find her books on there also. So, Suzette, you know I love you. And I appreciate so much, you know, who you are and what you do. I really feel bad that we live so many states apart, because if I was close by, we'd be hanging a lot together.
For real.
For real. Nothing would get done. We'd just be out there having
trouble
singing. We would just be singing all the time and getting nothing done, right? Yeah, but that's part of
lots of trouble.
But ladies, we want to inspire you. We want you to stand up for yourselves. We're going to stand there with you. We will be your cheerleaders. Suzette will be your coach. I'm there to give you the guidance that you need. All you have to do is find us, and we're not that hard to find. Feel free to write to me, bonk@aol.com, or go to Suzette's page at coachsuzette.com, and we're there waiting for you. I'd just like to say goodnight to my nephew, my adopted nephew, Scott, who always listens to our broadcast. He loves listening to you. He feels very inspired by your words. And so, Scott, we love you too.
We love you, Scott.
So, anyway, Suzette, I will talk to you again in a few weeks to hear all about your May, you know, your May workshops, and we'll talk about them on your next show.
Fantastic.
All right, sweetie, you know I love you, and love to all of our listeners.
Yes, love to all the listeners. I love you to death, Bon.
I love you too, Suzette. And we'll leave tonight with a song. And everybody, have a wonderful week. This is a song for you, Suzette. Let's see if it plays.
Okay.
I'm really not good at this, but let me try. let's see if I can find another song. I don't even know how to do this. I'm just so technically backwards, really. I was going
to
play for you that beautiful song by Ethel Waters. I was going
to
play Taking a Chance on Love for you. Because I know that that's a song that really would work for you in your own life. Because you took a chance on love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out so great.
It worked out
great. All right,
well,
I'm going to really work on learning how to do this music here by the next time you're here. And all right, so we'll just say goodnight and love to everyone. Have a wonderful week.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night, Suzette. Mwah.
Good night, Bonnie.
Okay, bye-bye.